children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude, as always, Goose, aka Bull Scripted, and we're joined by Bulls on Tap contributor, my little brother, my homie, Matt Berkland at ChaiBurk96, and we are here to break down the Chicago Bulls 123-122 loss, heartbreaker, to the Portland Trail Blazers. Before we get into this episode, be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcast needs. Following us on Twitter at ontapsportsnet, at BullsOnTap. Following Goose at BullsScripted. Following Burke at ChaiBurk96. Following me at BuzzOnTap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review. We are here live on Twitter as well. So, you know, it'd be really cool if you can go to the podcast and give that a listen, because, you know, that's how we make our bread. Not that it's a lot of bread, but it's some bread. Boys.
I still want to know where my bread is.
It's literally in my cabinets. I got to get you that Manscaped thing so you can trim your balls. and honestly, our balls are, it seems like our balls got nicked a little bit here, because the Bulls were down big time. Had a lead after the first quarter, outscored Portland 34-32, get outscored 32-19. In the second, make huge strides here in the second half, and they lose on a heartbreaker to a superstar in Damian Lillard. Burke, you are our guest. Crack 'em. We'll start with you, man. What the fuck just happened?
I'm just at a loss for words. That's the only way you can describe it. That whole sequence of you get Logo Lillard, you then get...
We gotta put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, you then get the, I don't know what the heck is a jump ball anymore now, to then just clutch Dame. There's no other way, you know, anyone makes that shot other than Willard there.
Goose, what's up? What happened?
Zach got hugged. Apparently that counts for a jump ball. He got hugged by two guys, not even just one dude. He got hugged by two guys. And they happened to touch the ball in the process of that big group hug, and the jump ball instead of an intentional foul in the last 5 seconds of a game. So that was kind of questionable to begin with. And then you have a jump ball that appears that nobody touched. Like, it just didn't get tipped. The ball just, like, kind of fell. And Dame takes the ball in. After he made that first shot, the second one was easy compared to the first one. So, no, you kind of had a feeling after he made that first shot we were about to get shit on in a horrible way. I cannot imagine how this team feels right now in the locker room after coming back, having a 5-point lead with 8 seconds left and losing by 1 point.
I think Zach's beeline towards the locker room told us everything that we needed to know about how they felt.
Yeah. Oh, no, he was gone. Jersey untucked, like, you would have swore that he got traded in the middle of the game and was, like, going to pack his bags.
That was as bad as Steph Curry's brother-in-law hitting the game-winning shot. Why does that have to happen to us constantly? Do we have to lose in fashion like this? I am shocked. I'm not shocked because Dame is a badass, but I will give Lowry credit where credit's due. He was all up in that motherfucking face. He was all up in his grill. 100%.
That whole second half, Lowry was coming up on those switches and giving him, you know, what was missing in the first half, and Dame still just finished him off.
You watch a superstar. I think that we could all say here, do you believe that Damian Lillard is a superstar? Because I do. I think he is. Goose, you think he's a superstar?
Oh, no, he's definitely in that tier of top 10, top 15 players, deserves a max contract, super max. He's that dude.
Burke, you believe he's a superstar?
I 100% agree.
So where we're at right now is, do we have a superstar? I think we have Zach, who is a star, and I think he got fucked. Like you pointed out, Goose, he was fouled. That's not a jump ball. He did not have grip on the ball. He was not fighting Zach for the ball. It was a foul. That was a legitimate foul.
They were hugging him, and Zach was kind of just like, all right, let's go shoot these free throws. And they're like, jump ball. And Zach was like, well, what do you mean a jump ball? I just got bear hugged by two dudes. I'm confused.
Yeah, I think we all are.
He was so confused that he missed the tip on the jump ball, too.
I think we're all confused. And, you know, second half, Lauri Markkanen in 36 minutes tonight, he finishes with 31 points, 6 boards, 1 block, 2 turnovers. You know, good game for Lauri Markkanen. Second half, moving without the ball, hitting 3-point shot. 6 out of his 12 makes were 3-point field goals. Second half, Lauri brought us back into the game. Zach LaVine's playmaking, believe it or not, in the second half was a big part of that. He was finding Lauri, getting the ball moving, did real well. Zach finishes with 26-4-7. Bad thing about Zach, which Burke and I touched on in the halftime show that we did live here on Twitter, was the turnovers. He only had 2 turnovers in the second half. I think what really hurt as well is Coby White going 0 dark 30 in the second half here. He had, what did he have, Burke? That was like 16-6, 14-6 in the first. He finishes with 20-6 on the night. You know, it's just, it's fucking brutal, man. It's just fucking brutal how this team loses and how we have to talk these post games. Not that the post games are hard to do. I love doing them. It sucks when we lose, but so many blown opportunities. But this one, in my mind, and I hate being that guy, but I'm going to be that guy right now. That was blown by the refs, and you're going to see a stupid fucking statement from the NBA tomorrow stating that Zach LaVine was fouled. You know we're going to see it. He was fouled, and that game was lost due to negligence and ignorance from the refs. Obviously, the Bulls shouldn't have given the opportunity, but you can't stop, you know, Damian Lillard, like Burke said, Logo Lillard. I mean, he hits a 3 from the fucking half court, you know, a little bit past the half court line. You can't stop that.
Right at the United Center logo.
Yeah, you can't stop that. I mean, it's just, but that.
And then there's even, you know, another call with him and the refs tonight with Otto Porter Jr. on the defensive end.
Oh, you talking about that offensive rebound that he had? Yeah, that was that fucking ridiculous. Rebound. He got fouled by Dame on that, too. There was a couple missed calls here that really hurt the Bulls. I mean, it extremely hurt the Bulls. And they pay for it. They pay for it dearly tonight because you get the ball in the hand of a guy like Damian Lillard, he makes you fucking pay for it. And here we are, guys. You know, we've been off since, what, Monday? And this is what we walk back into. After just a horrible couple stretch of games here for the Bulls, and tonight they have such a comeback where they outscore the Trailblazers in the second half. You know, what was it? 30 plus 30 is 60, so they fucking scored. The Trailblazers had 59 points in the second, and the Bulls had like 69 points in the second, and they still don't fucking pull it off.
Nice.
That was very, very nice. So, obviously, it was not great. Goose, you got some good things that you saw, some bad things that you saw. Let's get into the nitty-gritty here.
Hey, I mean, the good things were Lauri Markkanen was hitting most of his shots. I think there was probably 2 in that last quarter that we could have really had that would have made this game, you know, untouchable. The thing that hurt me the most, I mean, even if we won this game, I was going to be disappointed. Thad didn't get the first triple-double of his career. Had it all on a platter. There was a pretty shit call against him as well. I think it was an offensive foul that was called against him that would have given him his 10 points to seal that triple-double. So I was really rooting for him to get that, at least if we were going to lose. That would have been nice to see him pull off. I don't know. There's not too much positive to talk about. You got 20-plus points from the big three. Wendell Carter Jr. still missed. The one block Lauri had was clutch at the end of the game on Cantor in the last, you know, 2 minutes there. So, but they did everything they needed to do to get back in this game and win this game. And unfortunately, we'll have to listen to some 2-minute report that explains that, well, we should have won this game, but we didn't, and there's nothing we can do about it now. And I wish they'd just do away with the 2-minute report in general because it makes you want to cry every time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, looking at the Bulls' assists tonight, 31 assists compared to Portland's 20. 35 rebounds for Portland compared to the Bulls' 43. If you usually out-rebound somebody by that much, that's usually a dub, no matter what NBA you're in. You know, it could be old-school NBA, it could be this new shit that we see. It just blows my mind how this all went down. Now, if you look at the first quarter, yeah, it was a separation of 2 points. The Bulls came out hot in the first quarter, playing some good ball, getting points in the paint, you know, hitting some threes when they needed to. Garrett Temple comes in the first quarter. He played real well. If anybody tracks plus-minus, I believe he was the highest tonight at plus 18. I just got out of that screen there, so I'm not sure. I think he was the best on the team tonight. Bulls in the paint points had 38, which tied Portland at 38. Enes Kanter was eating up Daniel Gafford, which actually took Daniel Gafford out of the game relatively early tonight. Daniel Gafford gets the start. He sees 10 minutes, boys. He could not hang with what Enes Kanter was dishing. So then they had went to Thad at that point. We even got a Felicio sighting, which I totally thought after he came in we were
Felicio.
Oh, you know he.
We got some Felicio sighting.
Listen, Big Chris is the key to a championship. So, in my mind, because I'm so fucking scarred and on drugs because of this team, that's why I think that he is going to be fantastic. But you know what I'm getting at here. I mean, it was just, it wasn't a horribly played game. It's just the better team came away with the W and the better player put the team on his back and went fucking ham. And I don't want to talk too much shit besides, we talked about this on the post game, on the halftime show that, without Wendell Carter Jr., you could really see the discrepancy within the paint and within the defense in general. And Goose, you and I touched on this last episode when we were talking, you know, the Lonzo Ball episode. We're talking about Lonzo. We're talking about a bunch of other things. But being the 26th ranked defense with Wendell compared to not having Wendell, we have to be, I mean, if there's 30 teams, we're 38th in defense. That's how bad we are. Like, we're fucking negative, you know, like G League shit. It needs to crisp up. And
you think Chris is the answer to getting crisp?
Absolutely not. But I do like to laugh about it because, I mean, my God, yeah. Does that guy run? Like, he runs like I do drunk. I pump my arms really hard, you know, and I just fucking go for it. And that's
how. Are you saying he runs like Forrest Gump?
He kind of does, man. It's fucking weird. He runs so fast. He tries so hard at running. It's just it's a focus.
Being that big and being able to move that fast is what got that man $8 million a year. So I wish I was 6'9", 300 pounds, and could move like Forrest Gump. Give me the skills.
Oh, man. I don't know what to say here. You know, we could sit here and talk about the game all night. You know, Portland, better team. They won the game. Dame, huge shit. We could break it down. Obviously, the team played well for the most part. They came back when they were down fucking, what was it, 12 points. They come, they rally, they take the lead by 5, and then they lose it. Perimeter defense is something that really hurts the Bulls because we don't have that unless you're Garrett Temple, and Garrett Temple is not a guy that can do it for a whole game. I know he's plus 18 tonight. He's the best plus minus on the team. He's just not a guy that can do it all day long.
Luol Deng, what you doing?
I just heard he signed with the Knicks.
Yeah,
he signed with the Knicks. He's joining Taji, and they're gonna fucking trade for Derrick Rose as well. So Tibbs is gonna get his squad back, and he's going to win a ship with the squad that he should have won one with back in the early 2010s there. But you know, this is a point where I come, and this has nothing bad about Coby White. I'm not trying to be an asshole here, but my God, you know, he plays 34 minutes. He scores. He's creating in the first half. He's zero dark 30 in the second. Like, this is where you miss a wing defender, and this is what the Bulls need to figure out. And Goose, I'll go to you, and Burke will go to you next after that. I understand that Dame is a superstar, but we don't have anybody that can guard him, and that's a problem.
Well, I think we kind of made the choice in this draft to go with somebody that can stop the bigger superstars, the LeBrons, the Kawhis, maybe the Paul Georges, the Giannises, and Pat Williams, where Dame is a little too small and shifty for a guy that's as big and physical as Pat to really legitimately contain. We used to have Chris Dunn or Shaq Harrison or even David Nwaba for that kind of assignment. At this point, it's the truth. I got to give the credit where he's due. If you want a perimeter defender, that's going to be a pest. You know, those are the three guys that come to mind. We don't We don't have one of them anymore. The best pest we have is probably Archie Diacono, and as much as he wants to be a pit bull, he's still just a chihuahua.
So, oh, no.
What? Do you want me to call him a Pomeranian? Is he like a prettier puppy?
I got nothing to say. I got nothing to say. I got nothing.
He a poodle? He got the nice hair? Are you going to take him to a breeding show? Like, we don't have the pit bull anymore. So, you know, we got Project Pat, but he's, you know, he's more the bigger superstar specialist. I mean, I feel like you're trying to lead this into DeLonzo Ball talks again.
I was not. You know me so well.
I could tell by the tone of your voice, but I'll lob this up to Burke.
You pretty much nailed it on the head. Once you gave up Chris Dunn, you gave up your defender for the backcourt. It's, for me, you know, Coby White, you're putting a lot of faith in him to then now to, you know, he was a scorer last year, but now he's got to also distribute and defend. And he really just hasn't this year been able to put all the pieces together all at once. You've seen flashes where he's, you know, got the distributing down and the passing down, but I haven't seen defense from him yet. That defensive key that you're going to need to have if you're going to ride with this lineup. Hence why Alonzo Ball is starting to become appealing and why Buzz has a man crush on him. So.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It is. It's fucking terribly bad. It's just, I watched him last night, you know, and he fucking, I mean, just goes absolutely.
I watched him last night. he had his first good game in like 2 months, and I went from half chub to full erection on like 2 Viagra, and now Coby White.
Don't tell people about that, you son of a bitch.
I'm sorry. You told me you switched to Cialis. I forgot. You like those 48-hour erections. The 6-hour hard-ons weren't good enough.
No, they weren't.
But no, I mean, come on. Lonzo had his first great game in a while. I mean, Coby, I feel like at this point, he surpassed our early expectations for the season. Now he's hit this slump, and it's easy to be hard on him because you know what he is capable of, and he's just not currently doing that.
Correct.
He's 20 years old. We want him to be 22-year-old Coby, and it's just not going to happen overnight. But defensively, him and Zach are never going to be the answer to stopping an opposing elite backcourt duo. And Patrick Williams, as great as he is defensively, isn't really physically cut out to stop those kinds of guys either.
But
so,
it's also a different game, as much as I hate to say it, if Wendell is playing. Because I don't think Enes Kanter eats like he does. He's a great scoring big. He's very good scoring big. And, you know, Portland has great big. I mean, when Nurkic is healthy and Kanter's playing, that's a 1-2 punch that no team wants to see. You know, I mean, they're
just two guys that'll eat up fouls. They just flail around, and it's embarrassing to watch a lot of the times. But it works, I guess.
It works for them, you know, and that's the problem. You have Wendell in tonight, and I know he finds himself in foul trouble quite often, but I feel like that, you know, the physicalness of his game slows down Enes Kanter's role there in the first half and even in the third quarter a bit, where the Bulls aren't struggling as much to either get the lead or maintain the lead that they did have getting into the last, you know, minute of the game. And, you know, like I said, we're touching on, we're having fun with it. You know, like, yeah, I'm a big Lonzo. I just want a perimeter defender and somebody that can initiate the offense, and I think he might be that guy, and I'm not ready to give up on Coby White. I'm still not, you know. I'm not. It's
still early with him.
It's way early.
So
and like,
in that man crush, I mean, we touched on it last episode.
Yeah.
I can't say that I'm confident Lonzo's a better player than Lowry or Coby. I think he's a better fit with Zach.
I think he's a better fit with Zach, too, and that's the whole point.
I agree with that.
That's the whole point. So, like, you see these trade rumors, right, that are, like, fucking, you know, Lowry and some change for Lonzo. You know, and it's like, I don't want to move on from Lowry, but I do look at Zach. I like Zach. And you know this, like, I'm a big Zach LaVine fan, and I've always had trouble with wanting to trade him when we brought it up on this podcast, or, you know, I'm in a couple group chats with some really great guys, and, you know, who are actually around the Bulls and actually know the team well, and, you know, they're for trading him because they think that there is a fork in the road with him where, you know, you go to the left and it's kind of like this mediocrity. It kind of reminds me of the Monte Ellis Warriors before Steph really got his feet under him, or you go to the right where it's like this guy can get you the playoffs to make some shit happen. I do think that Zach is a very good player. I think he's proved it this year. He's an all-star. He should be an all-star. I would like to pair somebody with him that complements his game and takes a little bit of pressure off of him, especially, you know, to have him, you know, Zach has improved defensively this year. It's in the numbers. He's not a great defender, but he's improved. He's improved on that point of his game. And to your point earlier in the episode, Goose, Kobe's 20 years old. He's in his second year in the NBA. It's his first year within this role of being a starting point guard for an NBA team. He has a lot to do. I guess it comes, do I want to see this core be the core? And I do. I do want to see that because I'm attached to these guys. I don't know why. I'm attached to Suck. I don't know what it is. It's just...
Now, would you guys say that this core has a wider window? Now, it's going to take more time to build, but it's got a wider window than going Lonzo and Zach and needing to, you know, require more salary coming up because both those guys' contracts are...
Well, see, that towards the end. You just hit the nail on the head right there to me. It is, do you want to see something work and get, like, you know, what might happen if you brought Lonzo in? And by me saying that is because Lowry's obviously couldn't come to terms with the Bulls on a contract extension. He values himself more valuable than they did, obviously. And then you have Zach. He's got this year, and then he's got next year. And if he keeps doing what he's doing now, Goose had said it, what was that, two podcasts ago, that this dude is a fucking max contract guy with the way he's been playing. And if the Bulls don't give it to him, someone else will. So do you want to try to tap that potential now? And that's the thing here. And again, this game doesn't dictate what we're talking about right now. That's a fucking tough shot over a 7-footer. Two tough shots in a row by him. It would just be nice to have that guy that might be able to eliminate some of the other shots that he was able to get off. You know what I mean? And even having Wendell in against Cantor and stopping that. Like, you know, I don't want to use this game as an example of why the Bulls need perimeter defense or why, you know, Wendell being out hurts them. It's just, I guess it's that kind of game where you talk about it because, you know, if you're healthy, maybe this is different, or maybe if you had a better perimeter defender such as a Chris Dunn. I mean, not saying that Chris Dunn's going to stop Damian Lillard by any means necessary. It's not what I'm saying, but I think that he hampers him a bit. Goose, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Chris Dunn can only stop Trae Young. That was his calling card.
Is that why he signed with Atlanta?
Yeah, that's why he goes to the Hawks.
Yes, that is why the Hawks decided to pick him up. They're like, he's injured. I don't care if he plays or not. He's not going to bother Trae Young anymore. Come on down. No, I mean, I think the fork in the road with Zach is coming. This is his restricted free agency season for the Bulls. This is his prove it season to them. If they're going to trade him, they're going to trade him before the deadline or maybe on draft night come around next time. I think they'd get, I don't know if they'd get less or more value situationally there. It might depend how the Bulls finish the season. But Lonzo and Zach does fit better. But I don't, like Burke said, the window with Kobe and Lowry, that your ceiling is higher with those. Do you just have to wait longer? And it might not ever fit. And maybe you just waited for nothing. And I don't know. I guess if you just traded Lowry, then you still give Kobe that potential. And maybe Kobe takes Zach's spot. And you have Lonzo and Kobe instead of Lonzo and Zach. And there's, I guess, flexibility there with that decision. And that all just comes down to whether or not you're sold on what Lowry gives you. And at least to this point of the season, from my eyes, Lowry has proved to be worth more money than they were willing to give him more games than he hasn't. So he's going to see pay this offseason as anticipated. And if they're not comfortable matching that and getting Lonzo Ball makes them more comfortable, then I think that's something that you might have to do.
It's a good point. See, like, I guess where I sit right now is how the team is competitive, right? And I don't, we are at the end of the lottery or we're in the play-in, I don't feel like we're a full-blown playoff team. I'm going to keep that same energy. But as I look at it and I look at guys that are, you know, coming up in the college rankings right now, you know, and you know me, man, I'm stupid into that shit. I absolutely love college basketball. I live and breathe it. I just love to watch it. And I look at a guy today, such as Cade Cunningham, who's a 6'8 guard who can create his own shot. He can create separation. He can get his teammates involved, you know, and obviously it's very, very early. But the Bulls aren't even in play for him right now. I mean,
they are. The Pelicans weren't in play for Zion.
Well, I understand what you're saying with the, you know, with how the draft lottery these days go and how, like, the numbers have changed with the percentages and whatnot. But it's Chicago. Like, yeah, we got four. We were lucky to get four. But, my God, if that happens 2 years in a row, holy shit, man. I'll run around fucking, I'll jump in the snow naked right now. I was fucking snowing like a motherfucker, you know. Like, I don't give a shit. I'd be shocked to see it happen. I think Cade goes top three. I don't think
I don't even know if he makes it past one.
Well, I mean, that's a very good point. Well, you got guys like Jalen Suggs out of Zags. You know, I mean, you've got some options there. You got David Duke out of Pravi. I mean, there's some guys there that are playing some good ball. Excuse me. That are very good players. It's just, what do you do? I mean, and my God, as Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley, you know, everybody loves to be armchair GMs, but at this point, my God, I wouldn't want their job. I don't know how to fucking pick. Yeah. I don't know what to do. I mean, it's just, do you pair somebody with Zach who you think can be a superstar and has proven himself to be a star, at least? You know, and do you pull that trigger right away, or do you play the lottery odds?
And on that topic, let's upgrade from Lonzo. What's your guys' take on Beal? I guess we'll start with Burke here. What do you feel on the rumors or the just false smoke around the idea of Bradley Beal in Chicago, either with Zach or trading Zach to acquire him?
The trading Zach to acquire him, I'd be curious how they'd play together. But, man, that dude, what did I see? 19 games with a loss where he scores 40 points or more.
It sounds like what Zach LaVine gets criticized for, right?
Exactly. And that's why I'm curious if maybe if you get two 1Bs or like 2As, like with, you know, Beal and Zach, that may be enough to, you know, put yourself over the top that you have options like that. But then at the same time, would he be a better fit with Kobe White? I don't know. And I see, that's why I would more lean on him pairing with Zach. So, but it's going to be interesting to see coming up here.
Yeah, I guess I'll go and then we'll let you go on it, Goose. Bradley Beal's a fucking superstar. I think he has superstar potential. Well, not even potential. I think he is a superstar. I think Bradley Beal's a very, very good player. Bradley Beal, with Zach's ascendant, you know, just rising with how his play is, Bradley Beal is, I think, a tad bit better than Zach LaVine, but I don't think Bradley Beal's the guy that brings you to some sort of promised land if Zach LaVine's not here. And if people could say whatever they want, well, look at how he plays and look at this. Yeah, I thank God for NBA League Pass. I watch a lot of Washington games. Russell Westbrook, the decline is real. The athleticism starts going away. His game starts going away. You know, Bradley Beal's a one-trick pony over there right now, and he's having a rough time. If there's anything that I'd be intrigued of doing, it would be pairing him with Zach LaVine. Now, you look at a smaller, I guess, backcourt slash frontcourt a little bit with your small forward because, I mean, what are you doing here with the backcourt? You're going with a 6'3 Bradley Beal. You're going with a 6'6, 6'5 Zach LaVine. Who's going to be your playmaker to initiate the offense? Now, Bradley coming off a screen, I feel a hell of a lot more confident than I do with Kobe White. And nothing against a 20-year-old Kobe White. Yeah. But, you know, Bradley Beal's 27. He's been in the league since what, guys? 2012, 2013, I think he was drafted? You know, he's been in the league for a minute. He's learned. I'm intrigued by the pairing. And if I had to give up maybe a first or second round pick, and you know how the NBA draft is, yeah, you'll find your little nuggets here, at the end of the lottery, or maybe, you know, from 15 to 23, you'll find some, you know, unless Gar Foreman's drafting from you and you get a Taj or a Jimmy Butler or something, I don't fucking know.
13th in shooting guards has been pretty historically good.
Very true. I think that if Bradley Beal's coming here, he needs to be paired with Zach, because if it's a Zach for Bradley Beal trade, you're getting essentially more of the same. I don't think I'm wrong on that.
Yeah.
No, I think you're trading depth and future picks to get a lot of the same and not really move the needle. For me, I don't see the pairing with them together either. I guess Satoransky's size might give you the ability to play them 1-3 confidently.
So what would you do? What would you do at that point with Patrick Williams? Would you move him to four?
Well, I'm assuming in a trade that doesn't involve Zach LaVine for Bradley Beal, Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White are both probably gone unless you're sending first-round picks for, like, 6 years.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess.
Pat moves to the four, and then you have Sato, Beal, Zach, you know, Pat, and Wendell. So,
and that's if Wendell's healthy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's becoming an if that's too consistently unavailable. But
and then what, he'd have done that at the five if, you know, he's out. And that's getting into dicey territory.
Well, it's a very, very small lineup.
Yeah.
I like the, like I said, I'm intrigued by the Bradley Beal thing. I don't think that this team is equipped to be a playoff team as it is right now, even with Billy Donovan. I keep that same energy from the first preseason game till now, from the offseason till now. That's how I feel. I don't know what the right answer is. You know, perimeter defense needs to improve. And, you know, there's a guy that signed today that I think would have been a pretty good signing for the Chicago Bulls. And he's been out of the league for a minute, but I believe he signed in Brooklyn, and that's Iman Shumpert, you know, a Chicago kid who can play some decent defense, and I think that he might have been a help to the Chicago Bulls. And I'm not questioning Acme by any means necessary, but when you have so little perimeter defense on this team, he might have been a big help to have to pair alongside a guy like Garrett Temple, so you have at least two options back there that can defend. Because at this point, you're going into a shootout, and our shootouts are too inconsistent. You know, Zach is a consistent thing per the numbers. But other than that, you're hoping Kobe can perform. You're putting a lot of faith into a rookie. And this is more of an evaluation year than it is anything. But again, it's just when you're losing, it's kind of hard to evaluate at the same time because things get a little cloudy there, you know?
Not as much as the previous seasons, though, because we're actually competing in the fourth quarter. It's not blowouts. You're not getting half-assed efforts from the opposing teams. You're actually seeing competitive basketball. And I think we have got a fair amount of evaluation. We just haven't had consistent health either, which is the same song and dance for the last few seasons.
I mean, shit, Goose, that's been like 10 years.
Yeah, I mean
realistically, right?
If we have good luck with injuries, we're not talking about Zach LaVine anyway. We're still talking about Derrick Rose. So, I know we went there. It's the truth. But to your point, this team was probably never a playoff team, more so in that play-in category. And maybe that's the best-case scenario for this team this season, to make it into the play-in, fall just short, get some kind of playoff experience and still end up with a shot in the dark in the lottery here. But losing is never fun, even when you've accepted that your team is going to be middle or bottom of the pack.
And, you know, I guess I can almost accept tonight's loss because it makes me feel better losing to Damian Lillard on a fucking great shot than it does, you know, Steph Curry's brother-in-law. That I can't, his last name is Lee. I can't even remember the motherfucker's name. You know, it's just... I don't know. I don't really know what to say. It was a rough loss tonight. Let's get into the next. That's going to be the Knicks against the Bulls. That'll be the next.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'm hyped.
Tibbs.
I'm hyped.
I'm a huge Tibbs guy.
I'm not.
Hang on. Let me finish. I'm a huge Tibbs guy because I appreciate what he did here. And, you know, he brought – Derrick Rose did 99.9% of the work. But Tibbs did keep us competitive even when Rose was out, and I just kind of respect what he did while he was here. And you know what? I do respect what he's doing now. It's not going to turn out to be success for Tom Thibodeau in New York because he's going to kill R.J. Barrett and Jose. I almost said Jose Calderon. I have no idea why.
Jose Calderon.
I don't know why. I'm sorry. Julius Randle. But, you know, Tibbs has played some, you know, has coached some good ball over in New York right now. They're 9-11. They're nothing to bring home by any means necessary, but they've played some good ball. So that'll be the next game the Bulls play, and that is another winnable game. You know, it really is, but there's some good wing defenders on that team in New York. And with a guy like Tibbs, who is, you know, I mean, let's face it, probably still to this day, one of the best, if not the best, defensive-minded coach within the NBA, you know, it's going to be a tough challenge regardless, and I think it'll be a good game. I mean, they, you know, the Knicks are a good team. So what are you expecting? Burke, we'll start with you. What are you expecting Monday night at 7 o'clock against the Knicks here?
I'm expecting better interior defense. I'm just looking at the roster right now. No one scares me.
Not even Mitchell Robinson, huh?
I mean, Mitchell Robinson's the one guy, but that
Julius was.
Julius plays so far outside all the time,
that,
though.
I don't see that. Buzz is right there. That's where I don't consider him inside. His game's more at the midi range. Outside of Mitchell Robinson, I think, you know, we need to recover from where we, you know, got embarrassed by Enes Kanter tonight. Other than that, I mean, we have to show we're the better team. This, I think the big question for me is what's Kobe going to do? What's Thibs' plan for Kobe? How's he going to react?
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to put Elfrid Payton on Kobe, and I assume RJ Barrett will be on Zach. And then Alec Burks, who's actually a decent defender himself, he's no slouch. I'm sure he'll probably be on Pat Williams. But, you know, they have good wing defense over there. And then Mitchell Robinson in the paint's very good. But I would not be upset to see a Lauri Markkanen, Thad Young start on Monday. I don't think we do see it. I think that Daniel Gafford gets the start. But I would like to see that just to set the tone of the game. That's my personal opinion. Goose, what do you got for Monday here?
Well, one, you need the W. If I recall, before tonight's game, the Bulls had the sixth toughest strength of schedule to this point of the year, meaning being, you know, somewhere around that 500 mark and having these games that probably should have won, going their way and being above 500 at this point is good news for them. They should have a stretch of games that are winnable coming up here. And let's start it off against the Knicks, who are getting a lot of praise for being above average or even just mediocre to this point of the season. And I do think that we do have more talent on our team, and that's been the case for the last few years. Thibs is doing great things for them over there, but I don't think he's a better coach than Billy either. So I'm looking for a game that we can go into, or we should be able to go into, with expectations of winning. Unlike the last few games, and hopefully that comes to fruition. And I guess it will come down to Kobe and Lauri again, because we're not going to have Wendell. Starting Pat, Thad, and Lauri, I don't think you are giving too much up there defensively. And if you were going against Mitchell Robinson offensively, you're dragging him out of the paint to defend Lauri at the five. So that might be a very strategic play that we see happen.
Absolutely. Well, you guys got anything else? I mean, I got nothing. I think I've said everything that I needed to say. You know, we lost to a superstar tonight. Unfortunately, call was missed, as I touched on in the beginning. I don't want to harp on that too much. You guys got anything else? Burke, you got anything else before we ride out here?
No, I'm good.
Goose?
No. I mean, let's kick the fucking Knicks' ass. That's about all I have to say.
Hell yeah. I love it when you say it in that deep-ass voice. I wish I could.
Yeah?
let's kick the Knicks' ass.
Yeah.
Everybody be sure to go on tapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet. Following Goose at Bulls Scripted. Following Burke at Burke96. Following me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review. Burke, if you would love to, you know, if you have the time to hop on with us Monday after the Knicks game, let's make it happen. This is fun. Goose and I will for sure be here on Monday after the Knicks game, unless we get our asses kicked and we drown our sorrows in alcohol. We'll be here for sure. I just want to give everybody that disclaimer real quick, because when we get pissed off, we tend to... we record pretty much after every episode, but when we get pissed off good. So, but we should be here Monday after the Bulls beat the fuck out of the Knicks. Again, this is Bulls on Tap. Be sure to follow. We'll see you guys Monday. Let's go Bulls.
Stop it!